Well, we have 9 more holes to go, so how about you two fellas follow me to the 10th tee?
On to the back nine, hour number 2 of Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, son of Hall of Famer Billy Casper.
2 players down the middle on the 10th hole.
Here's Brian and Bob.
Thank you very much. It's Masters Preview Edition of Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, son of 1970 Masters champion Billy Casper, coming at you in our 25th year of talking golf with you, and we thank you so much for being a part of the show. Such a pleasure. Such a privilege to be able to go back to Augusta every year, to be able to experience it and to be able to cover the tournament and share it with you. And thanks for following along and listening. At Real Golf is where you can find us on X. Real Golf Radio on the other social channels. Tony Finau is playing in his 7th Masters tournament coming up this week. He's going to join us and talk about some of the things he looks forward to and why it seems to fit his eye. He's got 3 top 10s in 6 starts. That's pretty dang good.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously there's really something about it for Tony.
Yep. Yep. He just feels good.
And by the way, he brings up the sprained ankle and shares a story about how he was worried that his kids might knock over Jack Nicklaus in the par 3 contest. So stay tuned. That's all coming up here on the show, but it was really good.
I love it.
Tony was great to spend some time. He also shares his thoughts on his favorite sandwich there at Augusta.
Mm-hmm.
And whether or not he goes shopping, what do you think? What's the over under? Does Tony go shopping while he's there at Augusta or not? Nah, that question will be answered coming up later on.
You know the caddy's favorite sandwich?
Yeah.
Chicken.
You know why? It works for the caddy because he can throw it in the bag and it really doesn't go bad.
That's
fried
right.
Chicken. What's gonna happen to it?
Yeah. Actually, if you put it in the bag and it's a warm day, it actually warms it up for you.
See, I'm less inclined on the warm-up. That makes me a little nervous. That
it's just the chicken and the bread. There's no mayonnaise or anything with it.
Right.
So,
and that's the stuff you got to worry about if it gets too hot. Yeah. I hope you enjoyed that hour with the caddy. You know what? It's fascinating when you start going through the golf course and you realize where the holes rank, how tough they are. I was surprised that 4 played as tough. I mean, I know 4 is a tough hole, but I was surprised 4 was as tough for the whole field as it was, right? I mean, you got 4 and 12 that are right up there as the top 4 toughest holes on the golf course, and they're par 3s. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, 3 and 4. So it's pretty difficult. And that 4th hole is a beast. It's long.
It's such a great spot. Sit there on 3 and 4 and watch the tournament right there. Coming into 3, hitting down 4. So good. So good. Hey, we'll talk about more of the traditions, the Masters Week experience. It's all coming up next here on Real Golf Radio.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
Thanks again for joining us here on Real Golf Radio. It's brought to you in part by Black Desert Resort and blackdesertresort.com. Pretty cool. The PGA Tour and the FedEx Cup Fall Series is coming to Southern Utah for the first time in 60 years at the all-new Black Desert Resort. Check out blackdesertresort.com to find out more about the details. Black Desert Events as well.com will tell you about the volunteer opportunities and tickets and all that kind of stuff. So check that out. But real estate opportunities available at blackdesertresort.com. Get in while you can. The Tom Weisskopf Championship Design Golf Course is unbelievable. The new caddy program is up and running. So you can take a 4 caddy with you and he'll help you with, raking your bunkers, giving you the right lines off the tee, filling divots, fixing ball marks. And you know what? I've gone through with 2 of the 4 caddies. They're phenomenal. They're fantastic. Completely adds to the experience. Was really, really happy with the guys, Jason and Taylor. Both of them did an outstanding job. One of them had come from, I think, California, and the other one from Vegas. So these guys are excited to be there at Black Desert. They're hustling, and they're showing you around the golf course and doing a nice job. So it really enhances the experience. And did I mention the TrackMan units have been put out on the driving range? They're not completely calibrated and up and running yet, but seeing all those stalls with TrackMan set up is what a cool place, man. So awesome. So awesome. Black Desert.
That's awesome.
.com. 2023 Masters, John Rahm with a 4-shot win over Brooks and Phil. What was the bigger surprise, that Rahm won by 4 shots or that both Brooks and Phil were the runners up last year?
Well, Phil played with, I think he played with Spieth. Spieth shot 66, Phil shot 65. And Phil was kind of able to backdoor into a second place finish, but Brooks Koepka was leading through three rounds, and John Rahm ended up catching him, and Brooks didn't end up finishing off the golf tournament and winning the Masters. So, I think we were all seeing early on in the year last year that John Rahm was hitting on all cylinders, and for him to win the Masters, I thought it was awesome. And I thought, you know, what a great champion. Now he has a US Open and a Masters. So yeah, Rahm, I was rooting for him going to the fourth round.
Yeah. Yeah. It was fun. It was fun to see him. And he's got a nice menu set up for the champions dinner. One of the things I heard on one of the pods, was it the No Laying Up guys or whatever, that, mm-hmm. The Foreplay pod, that, that the Masters champion foots the bill for that dinner. Did you know that already?
I didn't know that, but I wouldn't be surprised. And it's
Trevor Immelman confirmed it. He said, yeah, that's part of it. So,
yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
But hey, Trevor said it's a pleasure to be able to pay for that dinner.
Absolutely. It is, man. You get to come back for forever. Oh. But the Masters dinner, the Masters Club dinner, as it's called, is always on Tuesday evening. I can remember when I'd drive in, I'd drop my dad off, and then I'd go back and pick him up, and I'd say, okay, what was it like tonight? Who'd you sit with? What was talked about? Did you necessarily order off the menu or whatever? Because you can order off the menu. There's normally a fish, a chicken, and a steak type of a thing. But each one of those Masters champions has their own type of meal that they want to present. And John Rahm this year is presenting a menu that's got a lot of Spanish food from Spain as the influence for his meal.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, of course. All of them do it. Seve, Jose Maria, those
25 years, by Sergio. The way, 25 years since Jose Maria's win in 1999. So he also won in 1994, but 99 as well. Hey, by the way, I want to mention as well that the Augusta National Women's Amateur, the finals, is going on today. And Lottie Woad from England is leading at 5 under par. Bob, this is her second ANWA appearance.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. She's played well there at Champions Retreat in the first two rounds. They had some wind in the second round that really kind of hurt some of the players and kind of knocked them down a little bit. But I'll tell you what, on Friday, they all get to play at Augusta National. And even if they don't make it to the final 30 players, but they all get to play the golf course. And then it all shakes out and we'll have a champion today.
Yeah. Sorry. I got the, you know, the other tradition, unlike any other, is my allergies at Masters Week, which
it kicked in. All that pine pollen.
Well, yeah, it's kicked in, so it's getting me a little bit. By the way, Gianna Clemente is tied for second, and she played last year tied for 14th. So Woad played last year tied for 13th, and Clemente tied for 14th last year. So there's a couple of girls that have been here in. She's only 16 years old, by the way.
Wow.
She was the 2023 Girls Junior PGA Champion. So pretty cool stuff. She also competed in the drive, chip, and putt back in 2017. So I love to see that when there's a history of these kids that go through the drive, chip, and putt program. And then all of a sudden they start popping up here in the ANWA and other professional events and things like that. So pretty cool stuff. So excited for the ANWA. While we're talking about women's golf, and we'll get back to Masters preview, hats off to Nelly Korda, 3 in a row. You know, last week we were talking about both world number ones on the men's game and the women's game with an opportunity to go 3 consecutive dubs, and Nelly did it in impressive fashion, kind of running away a little bit. Scottie Scheffler had a short putt to force a playoff in Houston and missed it. I was shocked that he missed that putt, by the way. Really, really uncharacteristic for Scotty. I know the putter has been something he struggled with, but not recently. He's been making those putts, and he just missed it. And Steven Yeager with an emotional win. Super cool to see these guys get their first dubs after so much. But hats off to Nelly Korda. What a story that's going on. You know, depending on which articles and which articles you're reading, this is the first time it's happened in a long time that a player has won 3 consecutive tournaments. And in fact, let me pull up my notes here, because Nelly was the one of the stats I read. She's the first American to win three straight since Nancy Lopez won five in a row back in 1978. So there's a lot of, like I said, I read some other stuff that had it happening earlier in the mid 80s, but so I'm not sure exactly which stat is accurate. Nevertheless, she's got some stuff going on. Shot 20 under there in Phoenix to become the inaugural Ford champion. So a pretty cool start.
Yeah, she's making her way back, especially after the beginning of the year last year where she was sick and in the hospital. But she's slowly gotten her game back in shape, and now she's got the momentum. She's back to number one in the world, and it's amazing to see her play golf.
All right, Masters experience, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, practice rounds, such a great scene. This is when the place is absolutely jam-packed at Augusta National. If you were to go for the first time, I would 100% recommend hitting a practice round over a tournament round for your first. For one thing, you can take your camera in and get the pictures you want. Yep. You can still see the golf course, which is what you want to see. And you can buy the merchandise, and you still experience some of the roars. You get to hear the silly skip stuff that goes on 16 and everyone chanting the skip thing, which sometimes gets a little overdone, but it's always fun to watch the people. The begging of it is a little too much sometimes. Just the players should just plan on skipping it because it's just too good. But you can also buy the merch, experience the food, do all that kind of stuff. So Monday, Tuesday, that's what's happening there. Players are out. Everybody's having a good time. And then Wednesday.
You know what else is good for food?
Yeah.
That peach ice cream sandwich is really good.
They did. They improved it last year.
Yeah.
It was a little too sweet, I thought, when they first came out. Then it went away for a year. Then it came back, and it was like chef's kiss. It was perfect.
Yeah. Perfect. That one's really, really good.
The goal, Bob, is to keep me from eating more than one of those this week. Okay. Yeah. Just keep me one.
Or too much of the caramel corn.
Yeah, that kind of gets me too. The biggest thing is spending too much time sitting in that chair. We need to be out walking. As long as we're walking, we're going to do a little bit better. But more on the practice rounds, the par three contest, and more as we continue. And then Anatomy of a Champion, we're going to get to all of that. But first, Tony Finau joins us coming up next. Excited to have Tony with us. We'll hear what he thinks about the upcoming Masters week. Next, right here on a Masters preview edition of Real Golf Radio.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Talking golf with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
One day you'll get it.
Here's Brian and Bob.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, previewing the upcoming Masters Tournament, the 88th edition. And joining us right now, he's making his seventh Masters appearance. He's made the cut in all six that he's played in, with half of those being top 10, including ties for fifth in 2019 when he played in the final group with eventual champion Tiger Woods. He's coming off a runner-up finish last weekend in Houston as the defending champ. He's a six-time winner on the PGA Tour. And an even better guy, Tony Finau, joining us right now. T, how are you, man?
Hey, what up, BT? What's up, Bob? Thanks for having me on again. Good to be with you guys.
So good to be back with you and chatting with you. First off, how you feeling coming off the T2 last week?
Yeah, I feel good. You know, I thought that was an important event for me to play and play well in. The golf course was awesome. Houston's a great place, and Memorial Park was a great test. But the game feels good. I thought it was important to have a nice finish, and it was nice to have a chance to win there at the end and just feel the nerves going into Augusta National. So the game's in a solid place. And again, I just thought it was important to have a good finish before the Masters.
You know, you brought it up, Augusta National. We got that next week coming up. You know, my dad, the first time he played there, he said, my goal is to never not play this event. What are your feelings when you get to Augusta? What's it like for you as a player to compete and go there on an annual basis to be able to play in that tournament?
Yeah, I mean, we said it just right before I got on air with you guys. I'm like a kid at a candy store. A kid on Christmas Eve. I mean, I'm like over the moon every year I get to play this. Some of my favorite memories of my career, even to this point, not even won it yet, but are playing the Masters. So I'm ecstatic again this year. The goal is, as your dad said, is to play it every year. And the only way you know you're going to do that on your terms is to go ahead and win the thing.
That's exactly right.
it's a golf course, that I love. And, you know, I'm looking to go and try and get me a green jacket again this year.
When you rank these majors, where do you put Augusta National in the four?
Yeah, so the Masters is at the pinnacle of our sport, and it's at the top of my list. So I think the Masters is definitely my favorite, and I just think it's the most prestigious tournament that we play and that you can win. So Augusta National and the Masters is number one in my book. I've said it many times, you know, the 97 Masters is the reason I'm playing golf today, and so that it'll always just be a special place for me. And I can't believe you said it, Bob. I can't believe it's my seventh Masters. I mean, I'm really, I'm always filled with gratitude every time I think about these opportunities. And again, this year I'll be looking to take care of business.
Hey, Tony, so you've got a scoring average of 71.33 at Augusta. So I put that all together. Unofficially, I have you fifth in the field, just behind Phil Mickelson. What is it about Augusta National that fits your eye?
Yeah, Augusta is a shot maker's golf course. I'm a very, you know, I like curving the golf ball, and that's always seemed to serve me well at Augusta National. It's a golf course that you just have to be creative, and I've always been a very visual, creative player, and for that reason, I think I've just fared well playing Augusta National.
You know, it's interesting. A lot of people say Augusta National is a right-to-left hitter's ballpark, but yet we've seen guys win this golf tournament like Jack and Tiger and everybody with a little bit of a fade or a high fade. And that's kind of what you hit, is you hit that fade. Do you like it? Do you like it right to left, or do you like it left to right, or does it call based on the shot?
Yeah. So I like moving the ball left to right. You know, my eyes always see the ball falling to the right, but Augusta National, you know, a lot of people say that. And when I got there, you know, having only hit a fade, I was actually surprised that I thought that the golf course fit, you know, a right-hand fader like pretty well. So it hasn't been too surprising to me to see guys have success hitting a fade. And I'll be looking for some of that similar success as some of these past winners this year.
Tony Finau joining us here on Real Golf Radio, playing in his seventh Masters this year. Is there a spot in the golf course where you just feel comfortable, like this is my spot, I'm ready to go here? Is there a stretch or something where you just feel like this is a good spot for me?
Man, I can't really say, you know, at the Masters you're ever like licking your chops and like, man, I feel so comfortable out here. But you know, I do like the stretch of 13 to 16. You know, I think it's once you get on that 13th tee, you got 11 and 12 behind you. If you played them well and the way you're supposed to play them, you're going to have some scoring opportunities in front of you. 13, if you hit it in the fairway there, you should have a chance for eagle. If you hit it in the fairway on 15, you should have a chance for eagle there. 16, you know, with the three left pins that they usually put, or I guess two out of the 4 days, they have hole-in-one pins. So those are just really exciting holes, and you can get yourself into the tournament really fast by playing those holes well. So I would just say 13 to 16 are kind of the areas where I'm like, all right, you know, we can really get after this golf course with some good shots.
How do you normally spend your week there as far as practice and time away from the golf course, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. So I usually just play nine holes each day. I get there Sunday night, Monday, I'll play nine, get some practice in, same thing on Tuesday. And then Wednesday is, you know, a super fun day for me and the family. I get Elaine and the kids out there with me inside the ropes at the par three contest. It's probably my favorite tradition of all the cool things that happens Masters week. Being able to just share these experiences with my family inside the ropes in a very chill atmosphere. It's kind of the calm before the storm type feel. And but it's a lot of fun to have them out there. And then the tournament starts Thursday, and, you know, you're just hopefully have done enough to prepare and be ready to go.
What is that like playing that par three? Looks, everyone brings the family out. Your family's a little bigger than a lot of them out there. So there's a lot of white coveralls following you around. It's a pretty cool procession.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's awesome that they allow your family to be in there with you. And I've always wanted my kids to be a part of that as just a really cool tradition for the Masters. So it's something that my wife loves preparing the kids for. She gets the jumpsuits ready early, and it's just a great feel. And again, it's kind of the calm of the storm, you know. This is a good feel day and all that. And then, you know, you get home Wednesday night and it's time to lock in and get your mind ready for Thursday. So, but it is my favorite tradition of the week, and so much fun just seeing my kids run around there. It was quite funny, actually. The first year I played it, you know, obviously I was infamous for hitting that hole in one and spraining my ankle. But just a few holes before that, my kids were running around, and I kind of just allow them to run free, as a lot of kids are out running around. But if you guys can remember the old hole number 3 and old hole number 4, I know you've been there a lot, Bob, and BC, yeah. But they used to cross. You hit 4 almost over the top of 3 green. But anyways, my kids were running down there and almost ran into the water. But, you know, Jack, we played right behind Jack, Gary, and Tom Watson. And Jack comes walking over, and I'm like, oh, no, they're going to knock Jack over, you know. And this is like, you know, it kind of felt a little bit of havoc. But, you know, he ended up having a really cool conversation with my youngest two at the time, Tony and Sage. And it was just this really cool interaction. We've got pictures of it. And it was just really cool, you know. It was just like a full circle moment for me, where it was like, my kids are inside the ropes running, have no idea who these old, you know, who these old men are. And they're just being so gracious with the kids. They talked to them for 3 or 4 minutes. We took pictures with them, and it was just a really cool moment. So I have a lot of special memories of the par 3, and we'll build many more, hopefully in the years to come.
That is awesome.
You know, what's really cool, Tony, is you understand the traditions in the game, especially when it comes to Augusta National. Maybe tell us one of your favorite stories or things that have happened to you on the golf course while you're playing in competition.
Yeah, man, I'm trying to think. I mean, there's, you know, obviously there's some cool ones. I played with Tiger and in the final group that year. I think it's, you know, I've had a lot of cool opportunities to play with VJ and Ernie and these guys, and kind of learn the golf course just to go around it. I think it would have been really cool to have had the opportunity to play with your dad, Bob, and you know, just talk with him about the golf course. That's something that I think would have been really high on my list every year to kind of see him. So, you know, it was unfortunate I didn't have that opportunity, but seeing him, you know, win in 70 and seeing his name a part of that history, I think is something that I'm, you know, I take pride in just in knowing him and your guys' family. So I think that's something that's pretty cool. But I think you guys have heard the story of me playing with Tiger. It was cool to be able to be the first one to congratulate him on winning the Masters. It was a bittersweet moment, as it was as close as I've gotten to winning a green jacket up to this point in my career. So I obviously would have been nice for me to wanted to win that. But I think for the game of golf, it was cool to just be the first guy to congratulate Tiger inside the ropes.
Hey, before we let you go, Tony, do you do some shopping, or do you leave that up to Elena out there, like in the pro shop?
Yeah, no, I leave that all up to Elena. I let her do the shopping. She tries to get in there early and get the gnomes. I know, you know, Augusta National, the Masters gnomes are pretty infamous. So we've got a pair from each year, and she'll be in there first thing Monday to try and get her gnomes. So.
gotta get them gnomes, man. You gotta get them.
That's right.
Do you eat any of the traditional sandwiches or anything, or do you just stick with whatever you order in the players dining?
Yeah, so I mean I've tried them all, you know. The club is probably my favorite. It's just pretty simple, you know. The crazy thing about that is I always tell everyone, it's like the pimento cheese, the club sandwich, all of it, it's like a pretty standard, you know, they're pretty standard sandwiches. There's nothing special about them, really. I think everything just tastes better at Augusta National, if I'm being honest, you know, and things just taste better, you know, Masters Week when you're there. It really is just an incredible experience. And it seems like if you eat anything there, you think it's the greatest thing on earth. So
there is that feeling for sure. Hey, Tom, yeah. Thanks so much for taking some time, man. It was really good to catch up to you. We'll look forward to seeing you and walking around with the female entourage that is always there at Augusta. It'll be fun to see you, and we wish you all the best next week.
I appreciate it. Nice talking to you. See you guys next week.
You got it. Thanks, Tony Finau joining us here on Real Golf Radio, six-time winner on the PGA Tour and playing in his seventh Masters. Fun to watch him. Certainly one of the favorites going into the tournament next week. Short break. More of the show continues next.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
All right, welcome back. Thanks again to Tony Finau for joining us there. He's like a kid in a candy store, a kid on Christmas morning. All the things he said. So we found out he does not shop. He leaves that to Elena. She's going after the gnomes. And he likes that club sandwich. So
he does.
And you know what he said? He summed it up. Pretty much everything tastes better at Augusta. That's the bottom line.
I agree, 100%.
Even plain old white bread and plain old potato chips taste better there. Hey, you know what sandwich we haven't talked about? Speaking of, the barbecue sandwich is underrated there. I really like the barbecue sandwich.
It is. Yep, I agree with you.
That's why if you're doing Taste of the Masters, you got to get the big one so you can include the barbecue.
Yeah, you got the barbecue, you got the pimento cheese and the egg salad.
Yeah.
And you get the Masters cups.
That's the secret.
Woo! We call that Master's Crystal in my family.
I asked Gina how many of those she wanted me to bring back, and she just gave me a side-eye look. We've got really? So many of them sitting in the... Yeah, because we got so many of them in the cupboard, right? But I
bring like 4 dozen home every year.
4 dozen?
4 dozen.
Gracious.
Yeah, I got to replenish my stack because my kids keep coming and taking like a dozen at a time.
Okay. Another tradition, unlike any other, is Bob dumpster diving for cups at the Masters. That's
it's not dumpster diving. It's on the golf course. They have these, you know, these trash bags. Uh-huh. And I just walk by and look in them. And if I see one of those cups, I pull it out, kind of shake it out and start it into the stack. And then we take them back to the house and put them in the dishwasher.
That's not the definition of dumpster diving, is it?
No, it's not.
Except that it is. Nevertheless,
you get a little embarrassed of me, don't you?
I think it's funny. I do sort of look around every once in a while, like who's watching Bob pulling cups out of the. What is it? What is a soda like? $1.50? $2? Maybe
$1.50. Not $2.
So it's just like let's just go get a lemonade or a soda, you know, and.
Can't drink 48 of them,
you
though.
You can drink 2 dozen sodas in 10 days. Come on, Bob. All right, so par 3 contest. I did want to talk about this. We're talking about the Masters experience. The par 3 contest, and Tony hit it perfectly. It is a celebration of the game, and yes. I loved that he shared that story that it did, you know, Lena's already working on the overalls, the jumpsuits, I think he called them, and just getting the kids all ready. It's that celebration. It's fun. I mean, it's... And I like that they have that relaxing atmosphere right before the crucible of the golf tournament. It's just, it's cool.
Yeah. And as we know, Tony, in his very first year, he makes hole in one on the 7th hole, which gets Crystal. And then as he's running down the fairway, raising his hands up, he spins and starts running backwards, and he sprained his ankle. Oh my gosh. Popped it back in on the spot. We're going, oh, this is his first Masters. And then he proceeds to get it taped up and worked on it and
shot 68.
Shoots 68 in the first round, limping on his ankle.
Shot 66 crazy. In the final round. I mean, the guy just top 10s it. On the bum ankle, that was just it made you sick when you saw it. But you know, you it was so fun. He just was in his element. I mean, what else could you ask for? You're playing your first Masters. You get a hole in one in the par 3. Your whole family's there. You just
they were standing right behind him on the tee.
And he spontaneously just goes running down the fairway. And
yep.
Well, you know they have a rule at Augusta: no running.
That's why.
That's the reason why. So the par 3 contest is a great experience. Merchandise, food, atmosphere. We've kind of talked a little bit about that. The atmosphere. One thing I will say is one of my favorite places to be that we're fortunate with our press pass is to be underneath the oak tree behind the clubhouse. And it's kind of just a who's who of sports and media and golf and entertainment. Everybody just kind of hangs out there. And what a scene it is right there behind the club. That atmosphere to me is the coolest. That a Wednesday afternoon with everybody milling around, Tuesday afternoon even, it's just such a cool experience to just hang out there and sort of just people watch, have some conversations. Tony, I've had a chance to sit with Tony and Scott Van Pelt the last couple of years and just chat for a little bit. Yep. And just super cool. It's just fun. I mean, I watched SVP chat with other golf fans and you know, totally took the time to just yak with them about their favorite sports team, which was pretty cool.
Yeah. So, you know, my dad always used to set up shop in one of those tented
umbrellas,
tables and the umbrellas. Yeah. Not tents, but, he would sit there on the ropes and people would come by and say hi to him. And he'd jump up with his master's jacket on and say hello to him and everything. And that was always, I think of my dad and my mom being there and that kind of thing. I think of them sitting there, under those umbrellas, back of the clubhouse and having lunch and all that kind of thing with family and friends.
Yeah. It's sad when they're no longer there, at that spot, in the tournament rounds. One of the great things is the honorary starters that morning to kick it off. You got to get there early. It's often a little foggy or misty, you know, lots still dew on the ground. It's a little chilly usually, but everybody shows up to applaud Jack and Gary and now Tom Watson joining as honorary starters, which is pretty cool to see him out there.
The other thing that I think is really cool about tournament rounds and the golf course in general is that there are no digital scoreboards. Everything's old school. Everything goes up hole by hole, red or green numbers, green over par, red under par. And to watch that scoreboard, especially as you're sitting up there on 18 and you hear roars down in Amen Corner and stuff like on a Sunday afternoon, and then they drop the scoreboard down and post the scores and everybody, you know, everybody goes, whoa, and it's really cool. The whole experience of seeing that, and guys can watch those scoreboards all around the golf course.
The past champions, of course, the champions dinner, the honor that becomes a past champion, and they're there in their green jacket. One of the great traditions. They get the lifetime exemption. You've also got crystal that gets handed out, as you mentioned, for holes in one, for eagles, for low rounds of the tournaments.
Yep,
of the day. That type of thing, which is really neat. The champions
holes in one on the par three.
Yeah. Which there have been a bunch.
Yes.
And we talked about the champions dinner. So let's start going through the field, in the time that we have left here and some of the favorites. You could maybe start with favorites by, taking a look at what does a champion look like? Where are they? What's the average number of starts? We know before the first, their first win, the average number of attempts is six. Or 6 point something. So you're right there in that 6 to 7 range. So now you go to your spreadsheet and you start looking at who are the guys that are looking for their first win that are in that 6 to 7. Well, guess what? Xander Schauffele, Justin Thomas, Tony Finau, Patrick Cantlay. Those are the guys that are kind of right in that sweet spot of being there in that 6 to 7 to 8th attempt for getting their first. Now you start to break down. John Rahm won last year in his seventh start.
It's right in the slot.
Yep. So, and you look at Rahm, he's the defending champ again. Talked about that 4-shot win. He went 27th, 4th, 9th, 7th, 5th, 27th, and then he won, right? Yeah. So what I like to look at is when I start laying those numbers out, what are the top 10s? Does he tend to get better? And in Rahm's case, first time he finished 27th, okay? That's not unusual for a first. Will Zalatoris is sort of the outlier where he just comes a guns a-blazing the first time and just has a runner-up finish. Yeah. But, I mean, Jordan Spieth did that too. There was a few guys. Rory was right there. But typically it takes some time to fill that out. So then he goes 4th, 9th, 7th, 5th. So he's obviously something resonated with John and he was able to. Then he had an outlier year with the 27th, came back and won. I look at Colin Morikawa. He's playing in his 5th. He went tied 44th, tied 18th, 5th, 10th, right? So he's got two top 10s, and they're all in the last two starts. That's pretty good. Xander Schauffele, he went 50th, 2nd, 17th, 3rd, missed the cut, and then tied for 10th last year. So sometimes you have those missed cuts in there. Those are a little bit of an anomaly, but not often. Justin Thomas was getting better every year. He's playing in his 9th. He went 39th, 22nd, 17th, 12th, 4th, and then he jumped back to 27th, 8th, and then he's coming off a missed cut. But other than the missed cut, he's got all those finishes in there that makes you think maybe he's a guy. Tony Finau might be as good a pick as anybody. He's playing in his 7th Masters. He's right in the slot. His best finish was a tie for 5th in 2019 when he played in the final group with Tiger Woods. He tied 26th last year, but look at this. If you take out the October one, he's 3 of 5 top 10s. in April Masters. 3 out of 5. I mean, that is really, really good. And since his last Masters, he has, he has a win and 4 top 10 finishes, including coming off a runner-up last week. So that's you have to look at a guy that's got some form and he's got some experience and he's trending. And I think Tony's a good pick.
Yeah, Tony is a good pick. You were talking about Rory McIlroy. The thing that you got to look at it with Rory McIlroy, in his last 10 Masters, he's got 7 top 10s. He's missed 2 cuts, 21 and 23, but 7 top 10s. That's phenomenal golf. And Rory has proven, his first Masters in 2009, he finished tied for 20th, had a 4-shot lead or 5-shot lead going to the back nine. He shot 40 on the back nine and lost the golf tournament and dropped down to tied for 20th. But, he's riding a little bit of a wave of really, really good finishes at Augusta. And although he was favored last year and missed the cut, I think this is going to be a good one for him this year.
So I hadn't actually mentioned Rory, because we were talking about guys in their 6th and 7th and 8th.
Sorry about that.
So, yeah, but Rory is played, he's in his 16th attempt.
Yes.
Okay. So your dad, it took him 14 tries. It took Marco Mira 15 tries. And that was kind of it. 1998, Marco Mira was the outlier, right? And then Sergio comes along and wins in his 19th attempt. That's the most. Okay. So here's Rory at 16. He's got 16, 17, 18. He's got these 3 years. And then he hits that 19. So he's got sort of that fourth year, but that fourth year will be a lot of talk about him being right there with Sergio. Once he passes that, 5 years from now, that 20th attempt, now he's got the sort of the wrong side of history there at Augusta. So this is the 10th time that he's seeking the career Grand Slam.
Yeah.
So not only has he not won a major since 2014, but he's missed his opportunity to win the Grand Slam since 2015. So that's why all of that starts to add some pressure. But you're right, 7 top 10s in the last 10 years. But you could also flip it and say he's missed 2 of the last 3 cuts.
Yes.
Which is a little bit alarming, right?
You could. Exactly. The other thing that Rory has done, he won at the beginning of the year on the DP World Tour, hasn't done much on the PGA Tour, but he's been working hard and he's been playing a little bit more golf leading into the Masters this year and maybe not taking as much time off. So he's worked with Brad Faxon on his putting. He just had a lesson for a couple of days with Butch Harmon this week in Las Vegas. So Rory's going to be coming in. He's playing this week. In San Antonio, he's going to be coming in having played golf and feeling like he's getting a little bit closer to having his golf game in shape.
All right. So when we start looking at guys, the number one overall 100% favorite is Scottie Scheffler. He's the world number one. He's playing in his 5th Masters. He won back in 22 and he tied for 10th last year, right? In his defense. Just two of 12 coming off
2 wins. API. He won API. He won the Players Championship and he finished 2nd last week, missing a short putt on the last hole to get into a playoff. So he's peaking well and he's got a new putter in the bag and he's really started to putt extremely well.
Bob, he's of the 12 rounds that he's played there, just 2 have been over par. I mean, that's
there you go.
I mean, he plays really well. He's a guy you got to look at. I think that's, by the way, I'm looking at that note right now and I'm thinking that was probably last year's note. Because I believe he's got 16 rounds now, but there nevertheless, going into last year, and I have to look at his rounds from last year, but he had 2 of 12 over par rounds. So, I mean, 10 of the 12 were under par. That's impressive stuff. Par or better, I should say. So you got Scotty, you got Rory. How about Jordan Spieth? Jordan is playing in his 11th Masters. He won back in 2015. The average number of attempts before your second win at a green jacket is 9.9. So how about Jordan? What do you think of him? He started out blazing hot, 2-1-2-1 or 2-1-2-11, 3-21-46, 3-MC-4. So he's gone 3 miscut 4th in his last 3 times. But I believe over the last 10 years, he has the lowest scoring average at the Masters, and also holds the record for the most birdies in a tournament with 28 back in 2015. So
in my opinion, you got to watch out for Jordan Spieth, because his putting was his bugaboo last year. Strokes gained, he was 79th for the PGA Tour last year. He's tied for sixth this year.
Okay, we got a minute and a half or so left in the show. It's time for picks. Our way too early picks. I went with Schauffele, JT, Scheffler, and Hovland. You had Rory, Spieth, Scheffler, and Hovland. So we both like Scheffler and Hovland. Hovland often coming off a win in the FedEx Cup last year. Hasn't been as pronounced this year, but I'm going to go Scheffler and Finau as my top two picks. I just think Tony's a great pick. I loved what he said on the show. He's coming to do some business, take care of business. And obviously, Scottie Scheffler is the number one player in the world.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Rory just from the career Grand Slam standpoint. Scheffler, of course, and then Tony follows up after that.
Okay, we'll see what happens. It should be a good one. We haven't talked much about the LIV guys that are coming over, but according to Sergio, they are confident that they are going to contend for a green jacket. Well, like Brooks and Phil were runners-up last year, so they can do that. Brooks is the PGA champ. We haven't seen much out of him, but of the guys, you got to think Brooks Koepka and John Rahm, who is the defending champ, are guys to look at, right? For sure.
Yep, no doubt.
John Rahm would have to join, of course, only three players that have successfully defended their title there at the Masters. Enjoy the final round of the Augusta National Women's Amateur, the Drive, Chip, and Putt finals tomorrow, and then Masters a week. For Dave Glauser and Bob Casper, I'm Brian Taylor. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you from Augusta next week right here on Real Golf Radio.